felt so stoned yesterday from those dabs. They were bigger dabs for me. Yesterday, like, was a wild day for me. That was a lot. That was a lot for me. I feel good right now. I feel normal, but fuck, yesterday. Good. All right, cool. Sick. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 143 of the podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, Taffy the Gray, my good friend that we have been working on so many different projects, which you've seen on the Instagram, from the dry pieces, all the different sculptural stuff, and this, like, neon plasma rig that we just recently did together. In the later in this episode, we get into that, talk about all different things. But yeah, appreciate all you folks to support the podcast. I'm super stoned. Just ripped a bunch of dabs of dab through that fucking thing. I also just smelled some crazy of ozone or something. I don't even know. I feel wild, and it's good. It's good. But I hope you all enjoy the episode. And yeah, thanks, everybody. See you next time. Or now? I don't even know, dude. Life is weird. Things happen to me. Fuck.
Thanks for having
me,
bro.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Love to do some projects like that.
I agree. I was talking to the guys yesterday that did these fills.
Yeah.
And there is a driver waiting for me, the new style.
Yeah.
Which would be cool, because then we could, once we have the base for this, we can change the frequency and change the way it moves.
It's so crazy that, like, that type of control just from, like, you know, adjusting the frequency of the energy going into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's like so much new stuff to learn, and it makes me look at building a pipe totally differently, because I've been thinking about other, like, because this is like, I forced an RBR into like a jacketed whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm like, what? How do I design a pipe that benefits that old, like, lightning effect? Like, I want, instead of just making one of my traditional pipes and forcing it into a shape, like, how do I make something that's like, one second, well,
designed that, for that.
Yeah, so that, like, it not only complements the water, but that plasma effect in the best way possible. So now in my head, I'm kind of designing something where, like, I think, build it from building point of view to, like, visually how it'll look, especially after watching this, how this reacts and stuff. I'm like, oh, I have some ideas of some really cool water features we could have with that plasma around it.
Mm.
Also doing, obviously, none of my traditional designs. That way it's like, people are like, oh, is that, it's one of those, but it does that. It's different. But I would like to design something specifically that's not forcing it to be something that I've already done, but something totally new that's like, whoa, that's really cool how they used.
Totally.
Like, you know, having the plasma pass, like, a bridge like this, like, passing through parts of it and stuff like that, through the function, I don't know, just seeing how it all, like, connect and go through it.
Having, like, a spiral of connection.
Oh, yeah.
Going up, so there's, like, a tube that it has to go around and stuff, man. There's so many ways you can play with it. And I agree with you. I definitely, like, the first pieces I did in plasma, it totally push me in new directions for the design, just because I wanted to see what would happen with
hell yeah, dude. Yeah, really, it makes your mind go different places than it would typically go, because it's such a different way of coming at a piece of functional glass, you know, because there's two different functions you're trying to achieve in one cohesive piece, you know, the function of being able to fill it with like a gas, and then
the globe in his hands is hollow, the disc on top of his head is hollow with the ring around it.
Did you fill this?
I did. This is the first thing I ever filled. Dude, this broke.
How have I not seen that?
When I put the electrode on the bottom, it fucking broke.
What the fuck?
And I fucking fixed it by hand. With a big glove on, dude. It was so gnarly. Yeah, there it is, filled.
Oh, no. We need to do other stuff.
Yeah, dude. So I did these mangrove roots because it's like, what's going to happen? Will they go out there, you know? And they fucking totally do. It's like reaching for the ground. And then I did a reed cab. He gave me a hollow cab so I could fill it.
Dude, that's so sick. So sick. Yeah, man, like, wow, that makes me think of things totally different. You could have, like, faux drain lines that go with the actual shape of it, some that drain water and some that are, like filled with the plasma.
Yeah.
Whoa. Dude, shit can get so crazy. Seriously, that's wild.
Yeah, well, I'm totally down. And so the guys that were I was talking to about the drivers, they're going to have, they want us to make as many things as we can, cups included.
Yeah.
And he's going to set up his kitchen, his dining room table to be all
a big driver, basically. A driver, yeah. So you can just set anything on it.
And then he's going to make the fucking program run so that if you take something away, it adjusts the frequencies and the power.
So you're not seeing too much change.
Yeah, you're not going to like shock somebody or ruin a piece in the process.
Dude, that'd be so crazy to have like jacketed cups, plates, everything, and like eating. Like, dude, that'd be so like. There's no experiences like that, is there?
No.
You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. That's something I could see in, like, major cities and stuff. It's, like, a dining experience. Like,
they had them in, like, the 30s.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, 100 years ago, they were doing this.
That's so cool. Dude, because I think, like, something really cool is happening. Like, I mean, obviously, it wasn't easy 100 years ago in, like, the 1920s and 30s. But, like, dude, like, some of the shit that, like, Nikola Tesla was doing and stuff, like, I don't know, man. That's what this stuff reminds me of. I'm like, this is the closest I've been. I mean... My house, where my house is now, it's not too far from where his secret laboratory was in Colorado Springs.
Sweet.
And, like, you know, like, my birthday, 369, and that's, Tesla said all the answers of the universe can be found within 369, so I believe that I must have the answer somewhere. So I have all these weird, like, things about Tesla, and so, like, doing this type of shit with you, I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm getting closer.
Yes.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm stoked, dude. So, like, glass, like... We were talking about it briefly, I think, the other day, but, like, why glass? Like, why'd you get into it? Like, what was the thing?
Well, I grew up around art. My grandmother was a ceramic sculptor, so I, you know, was messing with clay and just getting my hands dirty, and I'd worked with a lot of different mediums. But I was in college, and I was in a painting class, and I was pissed at how long it took to finish a painting and to know when it was done. I feel like by the time I finished a painting... I was, like, better, and I wanted to go back and just redo everything, you know? And it was just so frustrating.
Like, it's never done. Yeah. It's like you say, I know painters that will have something, like, sitting in their house for 3 years, and they just keep going back to it, and they're like, it's just, it's not done.
And, I mean, to be fair, I do that with glass now.
Yeah.
I, like, halfway get something done, I'm like, you know, let me think about this, and then 2 years later, I finally get the gumption to finish it.
Oh, 100%. I have projects all over my studio and cases that I are half finished and stuff, just because I'm like, I don't know where I want to go with it. It looks so good already that I'm like, I don't want to fuck it up, like, I don't feel confident about my path yet on this piece, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I need to wait until I'm ready to keep
going.
Right,
I do that, like, too, where I'm like, I got that part done, but to do this thing, I need to practice it or do something.
So just being in a painting class, you were kind of like, it, like, pushed you to look at other mediums of art?
Well, actually, I was, like, audibly complaining about it, and another student, I was like, did you know we have a glass blowing program? It's really immediate. I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
It's a gratification whether you fail or succeed.
Exactly. Like,
you're either going to, it's going to explode in front of you, or you're going to get it done.
So I ended up, you know, signing up and tried it out. And the teacher was like a ceramics professor. He wasn't very good with glass, but he loved it. And he really shared the magic of it.
That's awesome.
And he had us all line up day one and take our gathers. And I go to take my gather, you know, in this line. And I pull it out, and it's like, you know, soft glass is like honey on a warm day.
Yeah.
You know, you have to spindle it just to gather it up. And I come out, and I'm like, whoa, you know, like surfing with it. And somebody behind me goes, you look like you're supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
And the person behind them was like, yeah, you do.
That's almost like the best feeling with strangers or even colleagues. When someone's like, you look like you're supposed to be doing that, dude. Like, for me, like, I don't know what that is. I think I look like I'm supposed to work at a gas station or a Subway, but like, either way, I'm fucking figuring it out, dude.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, that's fucking cool, dude. Having, like, peers and colleagues around you be like, dude, this looks like what you're supposed to be doing.
It was a weird affirmation. Yeah. As soon as I touched it, I was like, yes, you know. Because
when you're young, how often do you have someone tell you this looks like? Like, you oftentimes you're like, oh, I suck. Like, or I don't fit in.
Yeah.
Fuck. But, like, but to have someone say, hey, this looks right, or this looks like the puzzle piece, the puzzle where you fit in. And it's like, whoa, is it this? That's fucking cool, man.
It was a weird moment. It was really moving, actually, yeah. And I mean, immediately was, like, hooked. I was like,
hell,
this
yeah.
is what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah, dude, mine with, like, getting into glass is so much more, like, such a stoner fucking thing, dude. Like, I was, like, smoking weed and, like, working. I had a landscape company, and, like, I was buying pipes anytime I had extra cash. And I literally got a job at a head shop just to get a 10% discount.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there, like, 20 hours a week just for the discount, because I already had my landscape company and shit. And, dude, just, like, being in there, and I was like, oh man, like, why don't they put this perk in this pipe and this perk? And then I would tell Cassie about it and draw pictures, and she was like, one day she just signed me up for a fucking classic Corning, which was like just solid work and torch safety. You know, you're not allowed to make pipes or anything. This was back in 2012 at Corning, so they were like, no
before
pipes at all.
Fell.
Yeah, exactly, before the wall fell. Before they couldn't hold us back anymore, and the pipe makers made our way in. Well, dude, it's because pipe makers, I feel like, are pushing the limits of, like, glass, and it goes all the way down to our collectors. Like, I don't know if I've talked about this with you before, but, like, there's a totally different standard for like a borosilica collector next to a soft glass collector. Mm. Where borosilica collectors will like, everything needs to be fucking pristine and perfect. And in soft glass, there's more room and more of a spectrum there for like, well, what is perfect? Like, mm-hmm. How should it be?
Yeah.
Of course, there's like a standard line of skill you have to achieve to do things. But there's this disconnect where like, I think there's more room for people to like flow with that creativity in the soft glass and not be so like hindered by like, fuck, like I shouldn't pursue this anymore because that weld's not as perfect as it could be. Or I didn't work that color as perfect. It's like soft glass seems like you were saying like, you know when the piece is almost finished.
Mm-hmm.
Like you start, you finish it. Like, cause it's laborious. It's like a ton of work. Like it's hot as fuck. It's a totally different thing than Boro. Yes, some things translate, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like cooling it into shape and putting everything. It away.
I was home last night fucking watching Blown Away. So as soon as I'm home, I'm blowing glass all day. And then I go home, I'm like, oh, I guess I'll watch this glass blowing show. Like, but it's like me skateboarding growing up, dude. I'd skateboard all day. And then I'd be like, let's go home, watch skate videos and fucking eat pizza rolls, bro. Let's go.
Yeah, man.
Like, That's fucking cool though, man. So like, how long have you been blowing glass then?
This will be 20 years, Jesus, pretty soon. Yeah.
You've seen so much change then. 20 years is major in Boro. Just at least in the, I know you started soft glass.
I did, yeah. So I've been doing Boro almost 10 years now.
Yeah,
yeah, and
but even in 10 years,
and it has been, yeah, it's been crazy seeing the changes. You know, and I mean, I was in grad school for soft glass, and I was encouraged to start a tubing company. And I wasn't really sure what to do. You know, they were like, your furnace ability, you'd probably be able to pull Boro tubing pretty well. You know, you should give it a try. There's this big hole in the market.
Dude, I was an early supporter of Taffy Tube.
You were, man. You were. Dude, I appreciate that. I was buying them. Remember that.
Dude, it was killer. That's crazy. So being in the soft glass and having comfortability around the tools, like the furnaces and stuff, you also had colleagues being like, hey, man, there's a market here for you actually probably to make a living. Within the spec, no, it might not be art, just pulling tubing, but there is an art form to it.
There is.
But maybe from a perspective of consumers and people around you, they're like, oh, it's a material or whatever. But at the end of the day, like finding a niche where you can actually make money within something you love to do is one of the hardest things to do. But if you can figure it out, it's like, even if you're not ultra wealthy or whatever, whatever your description of what wealthy or success is, like, this is like the best shit ever when you enjoy what you're doing and you can be within it. That's like me and the guys here, like, yeah, like they're here helping me crush on Bear Mountain stuff. And like they have their own ideas and art and their own home studios they work in and stuff. But they like love what they're doing here because they get to be around glass still. They're hanging out with people they like. And like,
they get paid to learn.
And we get to fucking have people like you come into the shop and they're all like, fuck, dude. Like, look who's hanging out with us for a bit. Like, that shit's like, that's fucking cool, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, even the other day, Cormac, like when I was leaving yesterday, he was just like telling me, he's like, dude, he's like, I feel so fucking like lucky to be doing this. This is like such a cool thing to be doing. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Like, having this, however long this lasts, just having this as part of our story, like, that's a fucking really cool thing. Like, we didn't just get stuck somewhere. We tried something.
Yeah.
You know, something that was a little bit crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of work.
Well, there's no guidebook to this. If I wanted to be a real estate person, if I wanted to be a doctor, there's people before me I could follow. Where we're right now is kind of like, people have made it before, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird spot to be in. I'm like, who do I look to for guidance? And I feel like every time I do that, the people look back at me and they're like, dude, we're looking at you right now. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I don't even know.
You do hold that position. I mean, the way you and Cassie run your business, the way that you focus on like production and exploration and a really good balance. Yeah. Like, a lot of people look up to that. And a lot of people kind of refer to you as
scary, dude. Like, honestly, man. Like, because to me, most of the time, I feel like we're just like trying to get this sale complete or trying to reach this next goal. And like, you know, the outside world through Instagram, they probably just see me like selling glass and crushing, but it's just like, I'm like still every day, I'm like, what the fuck do we do next? Like, what's the next thing? The whole dry dab thing is fucking, I'm stoked other people are into it, dude. I have a lot of people that are like, dude, I don't know how you take those dry dabs, but I'm like, bro, it's fucking, it's awesome. If you get the right temp, like the flavor and everything, and honestly, if you don't smoke hash, don't take dry dabs because you need a seasoned, you need a throat that's seen some things, right. Dude. You need lungs that have been dosed with heavily... with hash, because like a regular person would probably take a dry dab and be like, hot oil,
yeah.
Hot oil paper in my body. Like, yeah, dude, it probably wouldn't be fucking good. But yeah, dude, it's been super cool. Like, all these pieces I've been making with you, it's like they're all so different. Like, yes, there's familiar parts in them that I've done before, but like every project we've done so far, I'm like, oh, this is different. And that's like the exciting thing for me with glass. Like, do you like remember maybe like your first project that you were really like, whoa, this is not like where I was expecting this to go, or something that was really different that you were like, whoa, like I haven't really seen someone do this. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, there have been a few times where I've kind of stumbled across something like or made an accident. Yeah, yeah. It happened rarely in soft glass.
Because
I mean,
that shit's just, it's been happening even longer than Boros.
So. Yeah, it's like 2,000 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, or, I mean, that could be debated, right?
That
I mean,
can.
The Phoenicians, I mean, you could, I don't know, there's some stuff that could be possibly 5,000 years old. But, I mean, we don't want to, you know. Yeah.
It's,
well, who knows how long it lasts?
It's tough to say.
But glass in that, working in that way, is like old school, dude. It's almost older than some metalworking that people think is like probably, like this is like one of the oldest forms of us creating things as people. Like it really is.
It
like,
is, yeah.
It's, which is crazy that they figured this shit out, even if it was 2,000 years ago, dude. Just like
it is wild.
Like let's get this fucking sand and silica. Let's get this shit hot and make something.
Yeah, but it has, because it's been around for so long, so much has been done,
yeah.
And it's hard to kind of push into new territory and explore.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that pushed me into Boro. You know, I was like thinking about going into Boro. I worked at head shops when I was in college, you know what I mean? I was always aware, and I followed some of the artists like Jag and Coil and those cats that were doing their thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I loved the money craze back in 2011 and 2012, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Elbow was making pickles and tanks, bro. Yep. It was the sweetest time.
And that was right when I started grad school.
Yeah.
And then in like 2012 or 2013, I think I went to DFO.
Yeah.
You know, just to check it out and see what people were doing. And it was fucking cool. I
dude,
felt like
the
I
people.
I felt like I like walked into the edge of the glass world. Like there was a glass dome and I was like, dink. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, dude, here's the edge. Fuck yeah. You guys are pushing it.
Don't like, that's the one thing that I'm trying to get back to. If you, like, the one thing I noticed is when you do something, even if you love it, if you're doing it long enough, sometimes you can lose sight of like why you got into it.
Totally.
Or maybe why you love it. And you can hit these ruts as a creative person being like, fucking like, is this even me anymore? Do I even like this? Dude, I've had those moments, but like when I think back to like what I really got me into this, it wasn't just that I wanted to make all these crazy perks and designs. I started watching videos of like High Times events on YouTube. I started like going to little events and stuff, and I was like, whoa, the people are like they're all like me. Like they want to like smoke weed and just hang out. That was like the early time. Now obviously I have different ambitions. I'm a little older and stuff, but like back then, like the people and the community is like what got me into it. I was like, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, so, like, fucking being able to just hang out with a bunch of people that want to smoke weed, they're stoked, they're, like, sharing, they're not, like, it was just so cool.
It is
and
a cool
I'm,
community.
Like, I want to get back to that, though. I feel like everything socially has gotten weird since 2020, and, like, we're trying to, like, build back to where we can actually fucking find that, like, chill space again, or what's happened is I'm just older, and it's harder for me to get there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because I'm speaking from the perspective of someone that's 34. And someone that's 20 is like, dude, the party's still raging. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really hard to gauge what's actually happening in the world because we all have our own
totally
perspective in place. But
well, I think, you know, your production and exploration is such a, like, it's like a powerhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cool to be here and see you. Because you're not only, like, paying your bills and getting the equipment that allows you to push new territory.
Yeah.
But you're also, like, feeding your bliss and doing that exploration.
Oh, definitely.
And
dude,
that's something I really respect about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, being able to balance production with also, like, pursuing new ideas is, like, it's tough, dude. And the thing that I think about a lot of it is luck. If I cracked more pieces, I wouldn't be able to. If I broke more shit or I dropped more. That's the thing. It's, like, if you get lucky enough where you
I do that a lot.
But that's the thing, you know what I mean? It puts a wall. It's like, well, I guess I'll start tomorrow. Like, the being able to complete things
mm-hmm.
helps me push farther. Like, when my wife used to blow glass at me when we started the company, she was such a perfectionist. If she couldn't get one thing perfect, she would just be like, I can't even keep going with this project. Me, I just finish it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the next one will be better.
Yeah.
And I just keep doing that. To me, it's like, I need to complete it. That's what matters. Because if I don't complete it, I'll just keep taking my time, coming back and forth, and I'll never get anywhere. Right. I want to progress.
It's like rungs on that ladder.
Oh, dude, you have to, like, honestly, like, openly want to just fail constantly and be like, this doesn't define me, but this is the path for me to learn. Not everyone. Some people are naturally gifted. They pick shit up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I have to fail a ton to figure it out, dude.
Yeah, because you're like, learning from the glass itself.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
taking you far.
And often because I don't have people around me that are as educated as you, or like, I have like Pat here and he's like a fucking knowledge house too, but like, even he's still learning. We all are.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like with this piece, if I had someone here that was more educated, they'd probably be like, oh, don't do it that way. You're going to want to do it like this. And then maybe it wouldn't have turned out the way it did. You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my one thing. If you don't have people that are super educated around you, if you're just by yourself in a garage, you almost can pursue like you might find a way to the moon.
Yeah.
Because all the educated people have all the reasons it won't work.
Totally, man.
But you might find the way to get there because you were just dumb enough to try.
Yeah, and having that conversation with the glass and learning directly from the glass.
And not having someone influence you and going, hey, that's not possible. Totally. Man, don't pursue it. Yeah, man. Because I met a lot of people, and I'm sure you've heard this before too, like, oh, make 50 of this, make 50 of that.
Yeah.
Like, you hear that. And it's like, I just wanted to make recyclers. I made a recycler before I made a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if I would have had like one of those like more educated, older cats behind me, they'd be like, Evan, stop wasting your time, dude. Like, you're literally, no, like, you're wasting so much material.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make this thing, you know? So it's like, you got to find what you love about these things to be able to pursue it.
Yeah.
So do you think sculpting, because that's one of like things that you're known for in Boro and soft glass, do you think it translated in Boro because like, soft, like that's what you did in soft glass, or like did you do, what were, was there other things you were known for besides sculpting in soft glass? Is more kind of like,
I mean, when I did soft glass, I was pretty much in school the entire time.
Yeah.
And I stayed in school longer than I should have because I wanted the access to the studio and to be able to fail.
Yeah.
You know, not have to like
fail pay. Safely.
Yes.
Fail safely. Yeah, totally. That's the best way to learn.
And I did a lot of production work for other people, assisting, doing starts, that kind of thing. So, you know, and I went to grad school because I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So I tried to learn as much as I could, and that kind of pushed me to, like, learn how to do goblets, and learn how to do, like, fine Italianware, and then learn how to do, you know, sculpting, and just move in several directions so that I could teach several things.
Okay.
So
if you were, if that was, so here's the scenario then. If one of your colleagues were to be like, I need someone to do this, what would people come to you for when they're like, hey, if production, or if I need help with this project, like, they'd be like, oh, Taffy knows how to handle big ass shit, or he knows how to do this weld, or I feel safe with his countdown in his head to when to heat something. Like, was there something like that you were kind of known for with your colleagues? Like, they relied on you for if you were.
Yeah, there? I mean, towards the end of my soft glass really focus, I was, I would get called in to do, like, if they ever had big work to do, friends of mine, you know, or something weird, or a big mold blown thing.
Yeah.
Just having another person around that you can rely on their decision making.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you don't, there's not enough time to, you know.
Oh, do you see me here with these guys? I'll look at Pat, or even, like, if you or, like, Cormac, I'm like, what do you guys think? Like, how should we handle this? Because I just want to hear everyone's perspective to make sure the one I have in my head seems like the most logical. I want to compare it and go, oh, okay, this is actually, Pat would do it the same way. Okay, cool, fuck it, let's go. Totally. This is the way we're going. Yeah, because it was like, it's one of those things, it's like, you can be as educated as you want, but you really should talk to everyone around you and hear 2 cents from your colleagues, because collectively, that's how we make the best finished product, you know what I mean? It's like having multiple perspectives combined into one thing. It can be a beautiful thing, it can be chaos, you know what I mean? But sometimes that chaos ends up with something, you know, truly unique and special. And
I think that's something that soft glass has. It's unique to soft glass
because
you have to work in teams, and it's so immediate that I don't have time to like communicate my needs.
You have
so much
to know that after 8 seconds, I need you to reheat this immediately.
And when I'm sculpting, I get so lost and focused that I need the person who's in charge of the heat to rip it out of my hands and go take a heat when it needs to be heated.
Absolutely.
And I need to just divorce myself from having to do that.
Like, don't wait for me to hand it to you. Yeah. Like, you take it from me. I'm a baby. You have your timer. Take it from me. You
know what I mean? Like, and that dance that happens in the hot shop is like, you know, when you work with people for a while and you trust them, it feels like you have 6 hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're burning and then all of a sudden you're not because someone knows that you're there.
That's so interesting, dude.
And it's cool working with people in Boro that have that background and they kind of approach collabs that way.
Damn, it's almost like you build those relationships. Like, you'd see, like, people that work within, like, you know, high stress jobs or even military stuff, like, because you get this relationship, like, holy shit, we made it through that crazy build. Like, that piece, like, everyone's arms are burning. Because not just from radiant heat, but from how heavy all the parts were.
Yeah.
Everything, like, you can't stop. Like, and then you all complete it and you're like, holy shit, we fucking did that, dude. Like, the camaraderie is one of the most motivating things for me that I'm like, and you kind of see it here, like, I'm really trying to build a place where, like, the people that work with me and want to help build Bear Mountain, like, we can be proud of it. It's not, like, you know, it's like, not like, fuck, I gotta go, like, work this shit job. It's like, dude, I'm stoked I get to go in today. Like, what are we gonna get into? Like, crazy shit.
Yeah,
like,
it's already an impressive, you know, brand and thing you have, and it seems like you're always looking for ways to improve it.
Trying, man. But it's the main thing is, like, fun. Like, how do I keep everything fun for me? Because that translates to the people that want to support, too. Because often, like, we see a lot of our colleagues right now, you see people post, like, oh, I'm shadow banned or this and that, or they're posting drama. And, like, that gets eyes on you, but those, in my opinion, they aren't the eyes that are trying to support. It's like people that are trying to escape because they like the drama, mm-hmm. but they're not trying to buy your art. Yeah. Like, for me, like, I'm trying to create a space, like, because, like, I wake up almost every day with someone trying to start some shit with me, like, some dumb shit, or telling, or even someone that means well, and they're telling what they think my story is. I won't even correct them. I'm like, yes, I do have six arms, whatever. Like, you know, I don't care. Like, I just don't want to engage at all because I feel like it'll influence, like, the space I'm trying to create for the people who support me and my team and everything. It's like, I don't want drama and shit with people.
Yeah. It's tough being a public figure and doing a dude, podcast. It's
weird.
And,
you know, yeah, it is.
You really pushed it.
I love it though. It's like what I enjoy to do. It's like when I was a kid, I used to love making fucking like skate videos and shit, bro. And to me, that's like kind of doing the podcast, making the content, all of that. So dude, tell me, how did you first get you, like, did you meet this plasma, what's the correct term? I keep calling it plasma guy, or like, is it a neon guy, or would it be like a gas specialist? What would you call it? Do you even know? Like, what would you call the person that?
I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with neon. It's a very similar process and takes the same kind of equipment.
Yeah.
So the person that I knew that got me into it was a neon artist who like sold manifolds to other neon artists and trained them to use it.
Okay.
And he was really good with vacuum systems and just sort of always wanted to do it. So
definitely.
He built his own manifolds and started messing with it. And he was like, hey man, bring me something that we can fill.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of got me started. And as soon as I tried it, I was like, oh yeah, I got to do more of this.
That's so cool, dude. Because the first person I ever saw do it, I think, was Nerd Glass mm-hmm. back in the day. And then I saw someone tag him. And then I was like, oh my God, Nerd Glass, fuck Instagram. Like, why am I not seeing this dude in my algorithm? Like,
yeah.
I followed him. I've been following him for a decade. And then like I clicked on his page and I was already following him. And then now I'm seeing it in there. And I'm like, dude, he's doing some crazy shit too. Like,
oh, yeah.
The stuff like people are able to do in this field, like, I think he might be the only other person I've really seen doing it, unless you know of other people that are playing around.
There are a couple of people who have done it, but he's really, you know,
like, made it part of like his brand and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
It's very fucking sick.
And he's doing a lot of the stuff himself. I mean, he's doing the fills and making the, you know, the bases and everything, and it's impressive. And it takes a certain engineering mind to
though,
do it.
Like with this product, like if it's something you want to offer to people, you almost have to do everything.
Yes.
Because it's so specialized. Yep. Like this is not something, you know, it's something like anything can be manufactured in a way, but obviously it could be produced easier and more efficiently. But in the stage this is at right now, this seems like very like specific on what you need and knowledge you need to be able to do it. And it's still, even then, kind of like, will it work?
True.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Yeah, because
the people that are doing it, it's such a small handful of people that do plasma, that it's super esoteric. You know, it's kind of like Boro color, where there are a couple people that understand how to make it, but they're not going to tell you how to do it.
No,
you know?
Gosh, no.
So, and a lot of the people that do it well, are secretive about their process and they don't really want to help other people in their, you know, in this very small field.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough to have worked with a few of these really talented, big brains that do these things.
Yeah.
But I, you know, in my eyes, while I want to know more about it and understand it and be able to do most of it on my own, I still feel like, it's like photography. I don't want to take the time to master photography the way that I've
gone
after glass.
No, if someone already knows how to do it, make it part of it. That's one of my big things I've been trying to do. And over the next couple of years, I hope to like really refine it here with my team. It's like, instead of me being the best at like all these things and trying to achieve all stuff, I just want to hire people that are skilled with like photography specifically.
Mm-hmm. Videography.
Like all that kind of shit. Yeah, like everything. Like I want everything to be done a certain way because like I'm just going to half-ass it. Like I have big ideas,
mm-hmm.
but only enough energy to pursue one. Really. And I really try to find like-minded people. So I'm like, here's my idea. Do you have an idea? I'm like,
yeah,
do you want to try and build it with me?
Right. And we can go way more places. That, and
exactly.
We have, I mean, there are ideas that I brought here, like the dry moon right there.
Yeah.
You know, I've been wanting to make a
crazy
functional pipe in a moon's mouth for a long time.
Yeah.
And coming here and having like your skill set, and being able to realize these visions has been
awesome. Dude, yeah, I love building stuff like this because it's like I learn things every time I do because it's different. Like, I don't have a formula for building this. It's
mm-hmm.
like I'm kind of just going with it. Like, even when I was finishing it, I was like, how should I do this part? You know, should we go back, forward, straight down? How we should do it? And, like, you know, I love the way it, like, flows, like, with the actual, like, moon right here, too. Just,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, everything about it.
You killed it.
And, like, visually, it almost looks like it could be, like, an instrument or something. Or, like, I don't even know. It looks like something that's almost timeless, too. As crazy as it sounds, because it's, like, rainbows and it's, like, a pipe and all these things. But there's something about it that, like, you could even remove the pipe from it, and I think it still would have had the same reaction with people. It was, like, striking a chord with people. Like, the messages I was getting about it and the comments, like, people like made him feel some type of way. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the cool thing about art is because like when I look at something, like I'm going to get my own thing from it. Like, and like, it's cool if I want to tell people my story and how I felt. But the special thing is that everyone gets to look at it
and have, you know, that experience
with their own way. They're like, oh, it reminded me of this thing or that thing, or it made me think of this. Like, it's almost like hacking your mind and being able to find memories or a feeling you lost.
Right.
And that's what art can do. It's like a basically like a window into like reminding yourself of like, there was another memory and that thing brought it
or
back.
Or a level of experience that you had when you're younger. And we talk a lot about being 90s kids and like, you know, growing up in the 90s and having, you know, just like the nostalgia. And that's kind of what pushed me to make the shape in the first place of the moon.
Definitely.
It's this nostalgia.
Oh, dude, I grew up with like a hippie mom and stuff. She like had moons all around the house, like hanging on the walls, big moons and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like just, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have that experience.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Yeah.
In this industry.
And it was, and it's funny. It's like, my parents, like, they're both, like, stoners, and my dad's been smoking weed since he was, like, 12 years old, since, like, the 60s, like, you know, and, like, for him, I think, like, he's always been a stoner, but he, like, did, like, a real, like, more normal job. He had a construction company and stuff like that, and my mom was a hairdresser, and, like, I think that they always had ambitions to do, I think they loved what they did, but they also had ambitions to do, like, other things, too. Not that construction hair isn't, like, cool and creative, but, like, I think the fact that their son did something around weed related was kind of like, oh, it just took to the next generation to get to the weed thing. Yeah. Like, even though we love smoking weed, but we had to do normal jobs to be stoners.
Right.
Like, now our son found a job that's like within that community and he can be like a stoner openly about, because they had to hide it. You know, they're like, they felt like the black sheep of their family sometimes because they both like smoked weed and stuff. You know what I mean?
For
like,
sure.
It wasn't as accepted as it was back in the day. Now you're finding everyone's adult parents, like our parents' ages, or like finding a vape pen, and they're like, I'll hit a pen.
Yeah.
And then now they're sitting by the pool hitting pens, and I'm like, you're doing weed.
Eating
like,
edibles.
Like, you know that thing that was like the worst thing ever? Yeah, you're eating gummies and you're ripping concentrates. Like, you're actually doing way stronger weed than that time I got in trouble for doing weed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're fucking ripped. Like, it's so interesting how like the packaging or the presentation of something can change the perspective.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's, I think oftentimes with our industry, that's one thing we lack is like, how do we present ourselves and how do we package this so that, yes, we can stay like this niche, like underground industry, but we can have enough capital coming into it to make sure not everyone's a fucking starving artist. Like some people, if that's the path you want, cool. But like, I think that it'd be cool if there was more opportunity for glass artists in here to be able to like there's an opportunity here, but man, it's like, how do we like, I guess, have consistency across the industry from company to company where there's like standard practice where like, you know what I mean? It's hard with art. You know,
well, I think, you know, like elevating it in specific ways is just, it happens in so many different directions by so many different people.
It absolutely does.
I remember actually just popped in my head. I was at a museum pipe show in Philly and there was a panel and, Slinger was up there on the panel with like, you know, art critics and like these kind of big wig people, and they all like didn't know what they were talking about and kind of like couldn't really offer anything, and they started talking about like smoking as like a ritual, and he's like, well, I think that's just it. I think that, you know, something that we don't account for is the value socially in this, like it's more than tea time, you know. These people are traveling around with like $5,000 rigs to like go and meet with their friends to imbibe this you know, this drug that changes our consciousness a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and we have this ritualistic coming together of social, you know, it's like a social bond. And that is like a huge, huge thing to us as creatures, as cultural people.
Especially as social creatures, dude. Like, that's like the strongest bonds are formed between, honestly, people who go through like positive and negative things together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, the people that were around you when the greatest thing happened to you, the people who were around you when the worst thing happened to you, those are the people you remember, and those are your bonds that are created. So, like, through art, like, there's such big peaks and such deep valleys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And oftentimes, like, you're going to have someone next to you when you just watched your, like, days of work just break.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, so do I really do what I want to do right now and freak out, or do I keep stay chill because there's other humans here?
Right.
And, like, I don't know, it's
control
really
your vibe.
Dude, it's like such a teacher. Glass is one of the craziest teachers, dude.
It's humbling.
It is because
and rewarding.
Because it makes you just almost value the experience more, not so much to have anything to prove at the end. Because my thing is with glass, if I don't have any pieces finished, I have no proof I existed the day before.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have no proof. How? It's all gone. Like, I can't show you that what I made So, like, did I even exist yesterday? It's a really weird
film. It's cool to have these artifacts of time that we make.
Dude, 100%.
When to go back to the soft glass thing, like, I worked on pieces sometimes for 15 hours straight with a team of four people, and we were, like, dying by the end of it, you know? And sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. And it was always, you know, like, I feel like I went to battle with these people. They were just, you know, I loved and trusted.
Exactly.
But now in Boro, there's this other level of it where it's not just my vision that these people are trying to help me realize.
Yeah.
You know, it's us coming together with our mutual vision and skill set and trying to come out with something on the other side. It's almost like music.
Yeah.
And that's something that Boro has that soft glass really doesn't.
Boro has a lot of things that... Okay, so I think Boro parallels with many art forms, but I think that there's things that are standard practice in other art forms. Boro doesn't really do it. Like, there's, like, all the way to music and everything. Like, man, Boro is funny about, like, people making other people's stuff. It's, like, so... I feel Boro's less aggressive than any other industry, is my point. Like, I hear comedians being like, this guy said the same joke as me or something in the same premise.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, or you'll see someone talk about, oh, that riff was the same in that song that, you know, I played and this and that, and it's a, you're having a melt. But then, like, in Boro, we saw it a lot more years ago, but I think it's calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where people now are just like, oh, whatever. That sucks.
Yeah.
like, we're like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if, like, we're all just, like, worn down. So we're like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll just, hopefully people still want to buy my stuff. I'll just keep crushing.
Wow.
Like, but it's wild, like, how small a niche of an industry is and how still, like, cutthroat some of the people are. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, honestly, I haven't really seen many of those people raise to the top. They do for a short time, maybe a couple summers, but it's not forever, especially if they went at it at that angle. But, yeah, do you want to fucking play with these
plasma pieces?
Plasma pieces. Let's so we it. Talk about them a little totally. Bit more. I just got to blow my nose a little bit here.
Yeah, it is interesting, though. It's, you know, can't copy your creativity.
Yeah, they can't, dude. And the thing is, at the end of the day, if you're willing to crush, people will see it. You might lose some customers to one person or this or that. People pick sides or whatever the situation is. But if you're having fun and love what you're doing, like, you just have to remind yourself of that so you don't fucking get all hung up on, like, trying to tell everyone, hey, I was right. I did that first. Like, it sucks, that feeling when, like, you see someone getting, like, praise for something that maybe, like, you, like, really identified as a special thing about you.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, like, a you problem.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Like, and, you know?
And it's kind of, like, the gift of it is being able to make it in the process of being in that flow state. And once it's gone, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I like teaching. It's like, I get to share, really, the magic of making with people. And, that, like, what's left over is awesome, and it's something that to be proud of, but it's also... not something to attach yourself to.
I think I'd like teaching too, because, like, I really just want to be friends with everybody. And, like, I think as a teacher, people just, like, appreciate the value you're trying to bring to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when you're, like, trying to push the limits and you're crushing super hard and trying to share that, like, inherently you'll get people that don't really like you. They're like, this fucking guy's annoying.
Yeah.
It's part what of, can you part do? What can you do? I guess, as an only child, I'm like, oh, I just want to be friends.
Right.
Well, yeah, dude. So, all right. So, real quick before I heat this up and we get talking on another tangent, because then I get stoned. It's what happens. What's the gas that's inside the blue sculpted hand right here?
This is krypton. I believe it has iodine in it too.
I'm not
entirely sure, which makes it technically a halogen.
So interesting.
So this one's krypton. This one is neon. I'm not sure if there's anything else in here. There might be a dash of argon or nitrogen or something.
Argon would just be in there to push out oxygen, though, right?
Pretty much? It's, well, a lot of times you'll flush with argon or neon, and argon will help the charge pull into the plasma and help it strike.
Okay.
Like phase change from gas to plasma. So I'm not really sure, because I wasn't there when these were filled.
Oh,
and then,
no worries.
And then this one over here is xenon. It's on a very sort of underpowered driver for it, but...
Yeah, that's the one thing, is, like, these have, like, they're called drivers. They remind me of, like, ballasts, though, or some shit. It's essentially what they are, probably, right?
Similar, yeah.
But, yeah, just... like, so right now, like, this one, like, the RBR that everyone's seeing is, like, basically once it's on its own, like, stand, it'll have a lot more power going directly into it, pretty much. So it should be even brighter and more reactive.
Yes.
To, like, different stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, because, yeah, you can pick it up and it still, like, holds a charge. It gets brighter the closer you get to, obviously, like, the electrical field. It's not an electrical magnetic field, is it?
It is an EMF field.
Oh, it's an EMF field. All right, so, like, hypothetically speaking, if the AI takes over and we got giant like AI squid machines attacking us, we could make an EMP that takes them out with us. It's I mean, I grew up watching The Matrix, so that's where my head went.
Yeah.
It's crazy. This shit's spinning down. Oh, yeah. Just me getting near it just like pushes it away. Oh, dude, I'm a creature with like invisible fields around me, dude.
There's something super reassuring about it. As much as this is like a Spencer's Gifts kind of like associated thing, that feeling like I'm an energetic being and I'm connected to the earth and I'm grounding that field.
Yeah.
Like even without touching it, you're drawing it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
dude.
towards your magnetic field. It's crazy that it's like there's something that's like anti-existential about that. It makes me feel more real alive somehow. I don't know why.
Well, dude, I think it makes you, it just reassures you again. It's almost like the more you know, the less you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like when you see something like that that reacts to you before you touch it, you're like, okay, like, I understand on paper how someone's explaining this is working, but that's, I can't see that. And as a creature at my primal level, I'm like, something's reacting that I can't see. I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And that's, there's something peaceful about that. Ignorance is bliss, dude. I find that the more I know about the world and the more I look into things, I'm like, oh gosh. I'm sad. There's too much happening. And it's like, the more you know, the more stressed out you can get. But sometimes, like, the simplest things like that can reassure you don't know shit.
Yeah.
It's chill out, dude.
Yeah, it's this really subconscious but very palpable feeling when you play with these things.
And then, oh, shit.
A little pill.
Oh, yeah, it lights up, too.
Yeah.
You take it away.
So when you feel these things, you know, this is a chamber that we heat up to about 800 degrees.
Oh, yeah,
and
tell us more.
It vaporizes the moisture that's inside, and if there's any like debris or any carbon that burns off, you know, it turns to gas. And then we turn on a vacuum that's hooked up to a manifold that has several gases also attached on regulators. So we pump that down as it cools. You know, all these enlarged air molecules are getting sucked out of there. And when it's down to like the vacuum of space and there's very little molecule floating around inside of there, we don't even have to backfill it with anything. There's still enough like leftover oxygen and nitrogen from the atmosphere that it'll glow purple if we hook it up to one of these.
What the fuck?
Which is why lightning is, these colors. It's moving through the nitrogen and the oxygen in the atmosphere with so much charge, it like pushes past all the impedance of all the other molecules.
So you guys literally had to bring this down to the vacuum of space in order to get it prepped to even fill it with the gas that's reacting to that electrical charge.
Yes.
It's making it orange.
Yep. And I heard a theory once, this blew my mind, that our universe has these bands of plasma charges.
You're talking about the electrical universe theory.
Well, it's running through the universe and connecting galaxies like pearls on a string.
Yeah, for
sure. Whether we can see it or not. It's like these, you know.
Well, there's this whole theory that like gravity isn't actually what we think it is, that it's actually tied to the electrical universe theory, where like the whole universe is like electricity and like gravity is a side effect of this electricity. Like it's like we're basically, we're on strings of like huge like extension cords, and like the different galaxies are really like a power strip where there's just like all built, it's like bunched up energy right there.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's, we don't know shit, dude. And that's
best. It's cool watching, like, when I get to see the gurus of plasma get together.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Ed Kirshner I saw come out from UC Berkeley and teach a class. Wayne Stratman, Mundy Hepburn, just a lot of people that have been pushing this in their own ways. But when they get together and they start arguing about the nature of this stuff, it's so cool, because it's like, really, we don't understand it
What's a really more like abstract way to look at this too is that artists pushing the boundaries within these types of spaces may discover things that actually help in other industries they didn't even realize.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh shit, like I accidentally invented this. Like, as crazy as that sounds, but like, or I accidentally figured out why this works like this, because I did this with it. But yeah, I don't know. So how many different gases are there, like, color-wise?
Because,
like, we have like, this, like, orangish-red, we have blue.
So any green. Any noble gas will light up under a vacuum with a high frequency. So argon, krypton, neon, radon, which, you know, would be dangerous.
That's pretty dangerous,
but it would make UV, like, Illuminati glow.
That'd be crazy.
It would. What else do we got? Nitrogen, oxygen, helium. Helium is actually the smallest molecule.
Yeah.
There is, and it's so small that you can't keep it in Boro because it'll pass through the sidewall, like the matrix of the glass. It'll escape over time.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, that one kept me up like for a couple days when I learned that.
Dude, to me, this is like a whole new frontier. I'm like, I just want to fucking play around with this shit.
Yeah,
it's so cool. Like, I can't wait to have the base. And you're saying we're thinking we're going to fill the base with the The green, which is what again?
Xenon. Yeah.
All right. So the base of the RBR, because the RBR is gonna basically have its own, like, it's gonna be a big glass light plate, pretty much.
Yes.
That it sits on is gonna be filled with the green gas.
Yep.
So it's gonna be a very you know, intense and bright and colorful, you know, display piece, which I should say you shouldn't smoke it, but you can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't smoke it. You shouldn't smoke anything. Not good for you, but you can.
disclaimer. Well, the nice thing about having the ballast, like a light that's always on the base, is that if you pull this thing away and there's nothing running, then the driver is the field can go into the driver and make it eat itself and arc across the wires and stuff. So having something that's always on, I could pull this away, I can smoke it, I can do whatever, and then bring it back there. It's just safer that way.
And I was wondering too, when we have the base, if, because we're making a bigger base and putting a different driver, do you think when we lift it up, like, it might even hold a better charge because it'll be a bigger base?
Yeah, it
like
should.
Around it, because it'll be a bigger field it's putting off?
It should, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the big thing. I want to take a sick video of me, like, walk up to it with it dead, and then it just turns on, and then I start taking my dab. So people really can see that this, the fucker is, like, freestanding, like, because even my trainer this morning, she was like, what was it plugged into? I was like, it's not plugged in, okay? It's fucking science that I don't understand. Tesla, heard of him?
I mean, it is a trip. This, essentially, we're taking alternating current out of the outlet and speeding it up many, many times. So it's such a high frequency that it gives off a bigger field.
Sounds safe.
Yeah. And it excites these gas molecules into phase changing into plasma.
Oh, I need a little bit more heat.
Yeah.
That won't be good. It won't be hot enough for me. So I'm going to take a dab on it while it's lit up.
I'm going to get this guy out of the
science.
Way.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, it's even these projects, we wouldn't be able to do at my house. So, like, everything that happened here with us being up, having to move and shit, like, it's all for the best. Oh, dude, look at that shit lighting up green.
Yeah. This green is so cool.
That's like, I can't wait to have that on the base of the RBI, like a big xenon bubble under it, just green lightning. And does the lightning move at different paces through different gases? Like, is the xenon more of a soft smooth, whereas like the like neon or like even the fucking krypton is more like aggressive, like
impressive? Yeah, they definitely, the fill pressure matters, the power and the frequency of the driver matters, and changes the way it behaves, but they all do have characteristics. Neon is usually more of a diffuse glow. If you turned up the pressure and put more neon in there, it would be more like a lightning bolt.
Yes.
But that runs hotter, and that is technically dangerous.
Especially so with water and a rig and everything.
Yeah, so we got to be careful, because the vacuum is so strong that when it implodes, it's like an explosion.
Dude, I can't... Yeah, I know, you told me, dude. Fucking A. I can't believe like that RBR is under vacuum in there, though. It's like nuts, and all the welds, it all worked out.
Yeah.
Like...
I think in some ways it's probably stronger, like you were suggesting.
Exactly. Yesterday. There's some weird technical shit going on in there, though, that, like, I was like, man, hopefully I did this weld good enough so it, like, doesn't, like, pop under that vacuum. Because, you know what I mean? That's the real test. Like, that's not a normal stress you'd put under a regular water pipe that we're smoking weed with. You know what I mean? Like, have it under the vacuum of space, like, filled with gas.
Yeah.
And then charged up with electricity.
Yeah. And then put it in someone's home and let them use it and torch around it all day long.
Exactly.
It's a little scary.
That's why I'm heating up the nail, like, not in it, because I don't want to accidentally hit it with any heat.
My first plasma piece that was a sculpture was purchased by, like, a 90-year-old woman in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
And it's in her home, and she runs it all the time. And it's, like, it's scary, you know, having this thing that something could go wrong. But it's been holding up.
Dude.
You know,
but if people like understand and you can communicate with them, then can move the cup a little bit.
Yeah, let me get this out of there.
Alright, let's see how she goes.
I'll pick it up and smoke it.
Whoa! Gotta try it over here. Whoop.
Yep. There you go.
Kind of gotta help a little bit with your own, like, your own electrical, like,
conductivity. And that will be better once we have the actual base and a new driver, a new high-powered driver coming soon.
We had to show it off where we were at.
Yeah.
This is just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's, like, we're just starting, playing around with it. I love that the first one was an RBR, though, because iconically, I think that's what I'm pretty much known for, is the RBR. So it was nice to be able to find a way to incorporate that into it and make it kind of like the first stepping stone into this next exploration of glass.
It's really cool that you figured out how to do that, man. I mean, putting that all in a jacket. I don't know if there are recyclers that are jacketed and plasma filled.
If they are, I would think that they built the whole recycler and put it inside a piece of like 100 mil.
Right.
And then closed it off and just had the mouthpiece coming out the wall.
Yeah.
Joint come out the other side. But like to have it, the reason I did that is because you said that it reacts better when there's tighter spots. So I wanted to find a way to have, you know, those tighter spots. But yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's fucking fun. But yeah, this piece though, like I want to show everyone where the kind of the fill point is, because to fill this like, you know, whole like jacketed, like you would call it, it's a jacketed, that'd be the right term.
Yeah, jacketed vessel.
There's like this little nipple on the bottom here. I'm just like, yeah, right there.
Yep.
And basically right there was where it was hooked up to that whole manifold where they were, you know, vacuuming it out, like to get it down to that, like the vacuum of space, like you were saying, and then refilled it with neon and possibly a little bit of argon. And then they sealed it there, but then you had to bring it back to our shop, and we actually had to pull it off closer at the base because I posted some videos a few days ago. You guys probably saw my story, but still had like a little tube of glass on the bottom.
Yep.
So that was a little scary.
That little pill is part of it.
Yeah, that little, yeah, exactly. That little pillar. That was a little nerve-wracking. I was like, man, there's a lot of welds and thick glass right here, like going in with heat. But
yep, that's just one of the big challenges of these things is tipping it up, because it has to happen at room temperature. So yeah. we're you know, tipping it off close to the piece. It's so nerve-wracking.
For me, from like my building standpoint, the hardest part of this whole thing is the drain section. Like bending this neck, because it's a tube within a tube.
Mm-hmm.
So like not being able to hit that inner tube with fire, just having to be like, all right, it's the right radiant heat to bend now.
Yeah, man.
And then reshaping this drain, because like this was bigger than this to like get it all through the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to shape all this down like after this was in. So it was like, yeah, because this had to go all the way up through a neck.
It's like breaking the middle brick.
Dude.
You ever see that?
Yeah.
The Van Damme movie?
Dude, for sure.
Bloodsport.
Yes. Like it was, no, exactly, yes. Oh my God. But yeah, I learned so much on that piece and it gave me so many ideas, and I'm just like, I can't wait to see this project completed and then like really brainstorm on the next like big things. Even though I got, you know, you got more travels ahead of you, more things to do, I could still be working on stuff here, and
oh yeah,
we can, you yeah, know, you can pop back in.
Yeah, this has to be a long conversation with where we
yeah,
you know, continually push this, because this is a great start.
Yeah, we know that like we can have two pieces that are basically separately jacketed, and then they have this middle bridge that's actually connecting them, that's feeding that gas from. But I think that next time, if I were to do something like this, I would almost like, I would just build it just a little bit differently, because I think I'd want to find a way to have the gas up here.
Yeah.
Like almost have a jacketed tube or something. But like, I think the next time we do one, I won't do an RBR, because like I want this will be the RBR. And like, I just know in the next recycler, like, okay, if I want everything to be flowing like consistently, unless when we put it on the base, it's just like, you know, crazy. But I think like having a way that it could travel up here to two spots, almost like how the recycler has a return and a drain.
Yeah.
Have the gas have like two.
Right.
You know,
which
what I
is
mean?
Such a gnarly build. I mean,
yeah.
This is already difficult to do, but that would make it twice as hard.
I didn't even know if this was going to be possible. That's why I just had to try it like one day, like before anyone got, I came in at 3:30 in the morning and I was like, I'm going to start just building this. And it took me till like, yeah, the next day, but I did get it done. But I was like, I have to do these stressful, hard things in the morning. I started with the drain. I was like, if the drain works, then I probably can pull the can off.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can do the drain. But for first try on that, like, I'm very pleased with, like, wall weight and, like, just, like, shaping and everything. Like,
really impressive, man.
Yeah,
you did a great job.
Fucking piece.
And we can also do, you know, two separate fills and have two separate tip-offs. So this chamber could be neon and this chamber could be xenon or something.
That's okay, so there might be another RBR.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now, let's talk about the neck also being a different color.
Yeah, like, totally. Fuck, man.
Wait, in call mode, fuck it. No, I can't do that. That'd be too much. It'd be too many tip-off points, but how sick would that be?
Well, incorporating color is another thing that I've been looking into trying to do, where I'm like hiding the plasma in certain places so it's brighter in other places. And I was working on that cup with Avant-Garde, with Dylan, and it was supposed to have, you know, a fill behind a fill in his network.
Let's design something with that mechanic.
Okay.
And we'll figure that out.
Yeah. And you're such a, you know, I loved your color work. Like, you have a really good eye for color combinations.
Dude,
so
the boys have been putting that together. Their booties off, dude.
Yeah.
And them boys be prepping color.
They do.
Fucking A. It doesn't always work out. There's a lot of waste and a lot of colors. And I'm like, boys, you failed. But there's enough success where we can make some cool glass. And the ones that do work out, it's sweet.
And we're getting a little better all the time.
Oh, yeah, dude. Eventually we'll be like pulling color and doing everything, but everything in baby steps, you know, right now, especially because, you know, it's just, it's a lot of work, everything, all the projects I want to do. I'm trying to make sure I don't, like, do a bad job at something else I'm really passionate about, too. You know what I mean?
It's hard to chew on everything and wear all those hats.
Exactly, dude. Too many hats, bro. Way too many fucking hats. But, yeah, this is fucking fun, dude. I appreciate you, like, spending some time in here with me and chatting. Like, because I know it's always weird to like ask someone to do a podcast, so I appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking
fun. Let me work in the shop for a while. It's been awesome,
dude. It is. I just want to show people the Pendy real quick too, because we have, let me hold up this piece, we got that matching Pendy for this as well. Pretty sick. These are going to be available here soon.
Yeah, we're going to make a stand that holds both of them.
Oh my gosh, that'd be crazy, dude.
Yeah,
dude, I don't even know.
Yeah, we got to get on the sketch pad with that one.
Dude, things are so much art is happening right now, bro.
Yeah.
Sick. All right, well,
definitely going to have to come back.
I'm too stoned. Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah, we're not kicking you out either, so, you know, you do what you got to do. Yeah, but y'all have a great day.
Yeah.
Episode 143, I believe, right? No, stop it. 144,
man.
We'll figure it out. This is the end of the episode.
Consistency is key, man.
BMSGlass.com. Sign up for that newsletter if you want to, you know when these drops are happening. Because Instagram doesn't always, you know, it's not always friendly to creative people. Sometimes you miss our posts. So if you sign up for that newsletter, BMSGlass.com, you'll make sure to get an email about anything we're doing. And make sure to give Taffy the Gray, correct? Mm-hmm. All one word on Instagram. A follow, and so you can see more of these projects and other things he's working on, because he works with the best of the best, and he has a really fun Instagram to check out. There's so much cool artwork on there, so
Thanks, brother.
Sure you do that. Thanks so much, everybody, and hope you have a great day.
Yeah,
appreciate
peace.
You again, dude.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Damn, my mouth is so dry. Fuck, dude.